He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, this is a long hello, and why is that? Where are you right now?
I'm in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia.
And you are in the recording studio with Len, aren't you?
That's right, I am.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm in Montgomery, Alabama, and it's good to be here. The weather is beautiful. It's warm. It's 80 degrees. The birds are tweeting. What's it like over there?
I don't want to hear about it. Actually, it was a really beautiful day yesterday. It was about 20 degrees Celsius, of course. And today it's a little cooler. So on April Fool's, I woke up to snow on the ground. Wasn't too happy about that. But it changes here. You know, it's springtime and it changes all. It could be hailing one day. It could be a beautiful day. It could be snowing, raining. You never know what you're going to get. Big spag.
Well, that's fantastic. You are in Vancouver helping with Ruby. We're going to talk about that later. But let's get into our first topic on He Said, She Said for this month. So what's cooking, Trace?
Well, I have been cooking every day. However, nothing really special, just the real usual good stuff that I usually prepare. But I did make a nice little salad with leftover chicken. Gotta love that leftover chicken. I cut up the chicken and I added chopped celery in big chunks, green onion in big chunks, radishes, carrots, and I mixed it together with plain yogurt and sport oil and a little bit of balsamic vinegar. Added some Mrs. Dash and crushed black pepper, and it was really delicious because it was really crunchy, you know, with the celery and the carrots and radishes. And it was light and it was filling, and Ruby and Daisy really enjoyed it. Now, you can make this combination and you can roll it up into a wrap or a pita bread, or you can mix it with wild rice. It's a really versatile dish. It's cold, of course, but it was really easy, simple, you know. I was just cleaning out the fridge and they were just so impressed. They just said, how did you make this nice meal out of, we have no groceries?
Absolutely. Sounds excellent. A couple things came up with the sport oil. When Daisy was down here visiting with me, we ran out of olive. And she said, ooh, Dad, I don't want to put that sport oil on the salad. So she's got a real finicky taste. And ultimately, she went and got a bottle of olive oil, but then dropped it. And it smashed, and so she was forced with having to use the sport oil. And I mixed it with the garlic and the mustard and, of course, the fresh lemon juice and a little bit of balsamic. And we put it on, and she loved it. She actually liked the taste. So the sport oil has a different flavor, obviously, than the olive because it's primarily flax with some hemp and chia and some marine oil, some algae. But just letting people know that it's versatile. You know, it's not just great for adding to the shakes, but you can also mix it directly and use it as a salad dressing.
Well, what's really funny is I didn't know Daisy didn't want to have the sport oil in a salad because this is like a week before she was eating the salad with the sport oil on it. And she didn't even know it.
Yes, there's the perception of thinking one thing and it being another. And this is so common with kids, how they sort of look at something and go, ooh, ah. If you tell them it's good for them, they probably aren't going to like it.
Well, it was really funny because I was over at Lisa's house with the twins, which are 6 years old now, and she made them some pasta, and they just like it plain. And I said, well, have you ever tried it with the tomato sauce on it? We don't like it with tomato sauce. We don't like it with tomato sauce. And I said, well, have you ever actually tried it? They said, no. I said, well, how do you know what you're missing? So it must be just a look, what it looks like, right, the visual. I thought that was kind of funny. They'd never actually tasted it before, but they knew they didn't like it.
I think a lot of these things carry on through lifetime experiences, too. People have that kind of experience. They never actually try it, and then for the rest of their lives, they actually think they don't like something when, in actuality, they've never actually ever tasted it. So, come on, people, give it a shot. You know, try something once. If it's good, do it again. And if you don't like it, then move on. The other thing that stood out was the wrap or the pita, and I think with the data coming out, it's pretty clear to me that all the bread should be sprouted, that we should stay away from flours. And I don't mean the kind that you pick and smell. I mean the kind that is in the bread. So most people eat flour as a bread. It's just the crushed grain as opposed to the sprouted grains. Altogether a different creature. It's less allergenic or not allergenic at all. It's not corrosive at all. It's actually biochemically much, much easier to metabolize, digest, and utilize. So choose the sprouted grains, the Ezekiel bread, the sprouted wraps. Always choose those and try and get them sodium free if you can.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. Okay.
Good stuff. So that's great. That's quick and easy and
real
a way to
and easy.
Fill up on something nutritious. Moving on to our next topic now. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Brian Bradley. Brian is the Vice President of Therapy Protocol for
Egoscue
Method. The techniques that they use are not invasive, nor do they involve prescription drugs. From what I can gather from his interview, chronic pain that we carry at most times is caused by emotional and mental stress. What do you think, Cor?
Well, it reminds me of the Bach flower remedies. Edward Bach, the physician from England, long time ago passed away, but he put together the Bach flower remedy. Now, as a physician, as a medical doctor, he believed that all illness, even bacterial infection, had at least an emotional component, just in terms of how we respond to it. But a lot of the degenerative chronic disease, he believed, was ultimately of emotional origin, which is very interesting, the power of the mind and how negative emotions can create disease in our body. They can manifest themselves on a physiological level. Absolutely, there's just no doubt about it. So if you allow yourself to think negatively and to feel negative emotions long term, whatever they might be, depression, a melancholy experience, anxiety, tension, fear, loneliness, these things kind of eat away at us from the inside and actually rip through our flesh and appear as disease, which then the conventional doctors try and treat with prescription drugs. And there's no remedy for that kind of disease. You've got to work at the emotions.
I just love it how you say rip through your flesh. I mean, you're so graphic. You're a poet and didn't know it. Yeah, so thanks, Brian. We really appreciate your interview, and hopefully our listeners will get onto the protocol.
Yeah, we had a nice connection with Tom and Vered, our friends from Montreal, who are also practicing this method, this Egoscue method of postural management. Keep in mind, everybody, that some chronic pain throughout your spine or hips or knees could, in fact, not just be related to the emotion, but actual, the way that you sit, the way that you drive, the way that you train, the way you stand, it's posture. So a posture analysis is what you get when you get through this program. And I think that from what I've seen in chiropractic medicine and with other forms of management in terms of natural health care, that posture is absolutely critical. I know it's a big deal the way I teach the way that you stand when you train and the way you sit when you train in the gym. It makes a big difference. Okay, great stuff. So let's move on to our next topic, my favorite one, our Highway to Health Tour update. So let's get into it, Trace. What's cooking on that one?
Well, as we all know, I'm back in beautiful British Columbia, Vancouver. I left from Houston, Texas. And the funny thing is, we got a gal friend, Susan Whiterose, who gave me, or, you know, I paid for the ticket, but it was a cheap, cheap, cheap flight from Houston to Seattle, but it was standby. And I have never, in all the years of traveling, ever done standby before. And don't know if I would do standby again, because I did not know if I was going to get on. I mean, I guess it's great if you don't have a time schedule, but if you have to be somewhere, it's really iffy if you're going to get on or not. But that was a good experience. I got on. I was the last person to get on. And I'm here in Vancouver to help Ruby, our youngest offspring, just with the graduation preparations. And I've been visiting the school and talking to her teachers and counselors and getting the updates as to what she needs for the duration of the school year. So that's why I'm here. But the funny thing is, I asked the counselor how he copes with all these students and teenagers and if he had kids of his own, and his answer was hell no. I thought that was really funny, because his cope, I said, how do you cope? And he gets paid for his job. That's how he copes. So if you've got teenagers, it would be nice to get paid to look after them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what parents are for pulling up the slack and taking care of all the last-minute adjustments and details that sometimes teenagers disregard, think that are unimportant, and realize 20, 30, 40 years later how important they were. But I'm glad that you're there with Ruby, and I know that you pang for her when we're on the road and that you do miss her, as I do as well. But she seems to like the life there in Vancouver. It is a great life, living up in Canada in Vancouver. It's a beautiful city. I'm constantly reminded. I met an ophthalmologist yesterday at the gym here in Montgomery, Alabama. And he has been up to Vancouver and says it's absolutely one of the top cities in the world. He's traveled all over the world and mentioned how beautiful Whistler was. And we talked about the upcoming Olympics. So she's got a good place to live in, and of course, she can come down and visit us and connect with us. And in the same way that you were home in just a night, you can plan, change, get a hop on a plane, and be where you need to be very, very quickly, which I love. And we've got Skype, we've got the webcam, we can talk to each other. You and I are talking to each other every morning on it, and we're able to manage our business and use the technology, which I think it's just incredible.
Yeah, that's really interesting. People say, how do you, like, what are you doing here? Like, are you and Corey breaking up? Like, I mean, no. This is what people think. Like, get a life, would you? But, you know, we've been together 20 years now, and we can be away from each other. It's not going to kill me. It might kill you for not being around me. But we can still operate our business and do really well. And most of our students don't even know that I'm here because everything's on internet. I just think it's absolutely the coolest thing ever. Like Star Trek does live. Star Trek is reality, right?
Well, and there's going to be other times like this in our future. There's going to be times when either you or myself are going to want to go somewhere with somebody. That's great. It's fine. I think that for relationship, people need to be alone. They need to have their space. They need to spend time with other family members. They need to take off with their girlfriends or their boyfriends and go to Hawaii for a week or go to Paris for the weekend, whatever it is, because our needs are multidimensional, and we need to connect with our family, our friends, in all sorts of different ways. And I think that the world's getting smaller. And my experience many, many years ago when I was traveling, and it would take a long time to make a phone call from Europe to home, and it was very expensive. And those days are gone now. The world is closer. So this is wonderful how we're able to use the technology to keep in constant contact. It's almost like you're there, except we can't quite touch or hug each other, can we?
Hallelujah for that. Anyway, on the weekends, I go visit my best girlfriends. I've got some really close girlfriends that I've known for, 30 years. I've known some of these girls. Gosh, that sounds like a long time, doesn't it? But we really know each other inside out. And we have pleasant conversations. We go to the movies. We go for walks. Or we just always have a good guttural laugh. Last weekend, I went to Boundary Bay, which is about 40 minutes from Vancouver into Wasson. And we saw, on our walk, three bald eagles perched on a branch on a tree. And I just thought this was, like, absolutely spectacular. And it's the norm in this part of the world. And it's funny how we take it for granted. And my girlfriend's going, oh, yeah, they're there all the time. And I'm going, oh, my God, that's amazing. Where's the camera? Right?
Yeah, and, you know, again, that's the nature BC is famous for. It's why our license plate says beautiful British Columbia. And this time of year, I mean, there's nothing like it. So, I'm really glad that you're able to connect with your friends and spend time with them, as I would be doing as well. We're managing Ruby, but getting out there and spending time with the girlfriends, that's great, dear.
Yeah. And then yesterday, to put closure to our brother-in-law Doug's death, Maria, your sister Corey, spread his ashes on a nice little island that he was very favorite island that he had. They took a boat out. It's sort of about a half an hour boat ride. And then they had a nice little wake where we had some cocktails and some hors d'oeuvres and some reminiscing. And it was his 50th birthday. It would have been his 50th birthday. He didn't even make it to 50 years old. So they bought a cake and everybody's saying happy birthday. And hopefully that will be closure now for your sister. It's a tough time. It really is. I mean, I'm not saying that you know, you just get over it. Now it's over and done with, because it takes time to heal, because you do. There's a void in their life now because he's not around. But it's amazing how people affect your life. I don't think Doug knew how many people he affected.
Well, we're all connected in many ways. And one of the things I'm hoping that people will learn from this experience is why we do what we do. In other words, why you're supposed to look after yourself, why we take the vitamins, why we say no when temptation comes.
You do,
why
maybe.
Why we train.
Maybe you say no.
Yeah, well, I don't want to die at 49. And I think that some people still don't get it. I remember when Gord at Sisu died, and he was quite young, in his early 50s, and practically nobody got it. They just kind of write it off as a freak accident or a fluke, or they don't really equate how he lived with why he died prematurely, because the lifespan of a human is 120. The life expectancy is about 80. Now, if you die at 49, unless a piano falls on you, that is something that's almost always caused by the lifestyle that you chose to live. You know, it's how you treat your body, because it's not going to live forever. That's true. But it's supposed to last longer. We're supposed to kind of like fade away into the sunset idea. So I just hope that I know that some people might have got that message. That's what I get from the message. Of course, I miss Doug. I did love him, and we had some great times. But at the same time, this is also a reminder of what reality is and how you have to deal with it. And sometimes it comes at you full force, and you better be prepared. That's how I feel.
Yeah, sometimes that good old reality sucks the big one. Anyway,
No kidding.
Anything else that you did that was exciting?
Well, when you left from Houston, I spent some quality time with Susan. And she's really a beautiful soul. She is 70 years old. She's still flying for Continental Airlines. Of course, that's how we were able to get you on standby. She offered to buy you a ticket, which we accepted. And we trained together when you were gone, and we had some great conversations. You know, she's of the same generation as my mother. So we had a great understanding, you know, and that X inside of me, that female, really comes out when I'm in conversation with another female who's open and honest and wanting to speak about a whole range of different topics, which is what I really enjoy. I'd love to do that with men too, but men are often closed. Their heart is covered. They're afraid of me thinking that they might be vulnerable or weak, you know, that whole macho thing. So I don't get that with women, and I'm able to, you know, have some really good conversation. But anyway, we toured around, we promoted the seminar, we had a great seminar, we had a good turnout, we met some really good people. You know, for business it was good. And then I said goodbye and started driving to New Orleans, which was new for me. And I'd never been there. No, you've been there before, Trace. What do you remember about New Orleans?
I remember Bourbon Street. And all the fun and the bands and the song Jack the Knife and the hurricane drinks. And I remember I went down for a dance competition, and I danced on the paddle wheeler on the Mississippi River.
You know, that's amazing, because I remember crossing the Mississippi. When I was driving from Texas to Louisiana, of course, the roadkill changed, you know, and there it was, turtle and armadillo, foxes and possum, you know. So I mean, you can tell by the roadkill when you're driving which country, which state you're in. It's quite amazing. But then it became very sticky, and then we began to drive over the marshes, and then I began to see the marshes and the bayous, and then I realized now I really get how they refer to that, because it's a very wet state. There's just tons and tons of water everywhere, and even the highways are built up, and not just short little bridges, but these things go on for dozens and dozens of miles as you're traveling over these marshes. And I noticed the license plate in Louisiana. It's called Sportsman's Paradise. So a lot of wildlife. You know, they've got the gators, and they've got a lot of fishing and hunting there, I guess. And you can feel it being in there. It is different. I did learn how to spell New Orleans, It is spelled N-A-W-L-I-N-S. Nolens is how they say it there.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, Bourbon Street. What a fantastic place. Had a riot there with Days. We had a few drinks and tried some of those hurricanes and one called the hand grenade. And boy, we got looped and we had a lot of fun. I love the music. I love going in and out, listening to the jazz, coming out into the street, having fun, bumping into people, meeting people. My goodness, that was so much fun.
Oh, it sounds like a good time. Yeah, you're really kicking your heels up when I'm not around, huh? How come you have such a good time when I'm not around?
Well, because there's no old lady to bag out on me and to contain me and tell me what to do, you see?
I see.
So now I'm just like free and easygoing and not weighted down with all the weight of the world.
Well, I think it's really funny because I'm really a fusspot about my laundry. I like to have my whites and my darks and my colors and my bedding and my towels. I do everything separately. And you said to me, I'm doing my laundry. I said, you are? How nice. You said, and I threw everything in together. I said, I don't want to hear it. Remember? You just throw everything in together. I guess a lot of people do that, you know, throw everything in together.
Yeah, I know that there's a process and you certainly do it the right way, dear. But when it comes to that, I guess there are certain things that some people care more about than others. And as far as the laundry goes, yeah, I just shove it all in, stuff it down, and wash it up and take it from there. It seems to work.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
But anyway, it was spectacular to spend a few days. Daisy, my daughter, our oldest, of course, she came down with Tim, and I did test him. We had three great workouts. He's a man of character. His conduct was fantastic. Of course, he's going to be on his best behavior, but you can't hide it in the gym. You can't hide it in sport. So he got under that squat bar. He deadlifted. We did standing overhead military presses. And he's an ecto. He's lean. He's got a beautiful body, very lean, great potential to build a fantastic physique. He's always wanted to compete in bodybuilding, he told me. And he really admires me and my dedication to training. We hit it off. We had a good time. And he actually made a bit of a formal proposal to me regarding his intention for Daisy, that he wanted to marry her. And, of course, they're planning on moving to Hawaii. Daisy, of course, was born in Maui. So that's his in as a Canadian to live there. And they're going to try it out. And I just said, you know what? This is fantastic. You're the first guy that's ever actually made a statement regarding how you feel about my daughter. You know, she's 26, you're 30, and you guys have both been around the block, and it's time. So I feel very, very good about this. It's a very positive thing. I'm looking forward to getting to Hawaii at the end of this trip and spending a year or two or however long we spend there. But, you know, I just watched that movie, Australia, and now I need to go to Darwin because that movie kind of brought me back in time to a lot of activities that are going on up in North Australia. But anyway, that's another story.
Uh-huh. So you're talking story today, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting ready for Hawaii, dear.
That's right.
Good stuff. So, you know, it's been a great month. I do miss you, and I do miss the family and all that, but I'm really busy. I got a lot of new projects. I'm working on this new teaching program, and we're signing up people left, right, and center. We're working on some corporate deals. The business is expanding and growing. New members coming on all the time and always looking for some great new special guests. So we've got lots to do and lots to be busy about, plus there's the training and everything else. So let's finish off now with our final chapter. What you reading, dear?
Well, what's really funny about what I'm reading is a book that Ruby had to read for a class project. It's called Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. And I don't know how I missed this book. We didn't have this when I was going to school, but it's a very short novel and it's a classic. And I'm sure that many of our listeners have read this book because everybody I tell I read the book to, they said, oh yeah, cripes, I read that years ago. So the first copyright was in 1937. So it's been around for quite some time and they have made a movie out of it. And now I'm quite eager to see the movie. I just really don't know why they would put that book in the school. I don't really understand why that's mandatory reading for some classes. But it's about two fellows, one named Lenny, and he's really big. He's huge, but he's dumb. Well, he's got the mind of a child, let's put it that way. And the other fellow is George. He's small and quick and very patient, and he takes care of Lenny. Lenny will do whatever George tells him to do. And Lenny always gets himself into trouble because of his strength. And when Lenny gets scared, he hangs on tighter to the person because he likes to touch nice things. And if that person gets scared of Lenny touching them, and he does, he's very innocent, he doesn't mean to harm anything, then he holds on tighter and holds on tighter, and he actually could squeeze somebody to death. So I don't know if there is a moral to the story, but if there is a moral to the story, I believe it's about letting go. And by that I mean is you can take a person so far in life, and then they must fend for themselves. And when they get into trouble, then they have to be accountable and they have to deal with the consequences. It's a tough decision to make, but it's got to be done. Have you read Mice and Men? You've seen the movie, right?
Yes, I think I read the book a long, long time ago. I can't remember if it was required reading for me, but you're right, it's just a short little book. It has a lot of punch to it, and I did see the movie. They've made a couple of different versions of it over the years. It's a classic, so obviously someone at the top in the public education system thinks that the message contained within it. And there's some good stuff in there. It's good.
Oh, so, I really enjoyed it. It was very powerful, but I just thought this is kind of an odd book that they would pick to be a, you know, mandatory reading, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, once in a while they do make some good decisions.
But I went through it really quickly because it's only 100 pages, you see, and I'm used to reading 400, 500, 600 page books. So that was just a real quick, easy read for me.
Okay, so that wraps it all up. We'll look forward to getting together again in a month from now. So, Tracy Hawley, what is your final word?
My final word is by an unknown high school principal. Too many of today's children have straight teeth and crooked morals.